Good afternoon. Just a reminder, at this time, we are not planning on having our midweek service next week. But if there is a change, I'll be sure to let Susie know on Monday, and we'll try to alert everyone that we'll be gathering. But at this point, our plan is to not meet. Our first reading for this afternoon is from the 24th chapter of Exodus. Then he said to Moses, "Come up to the Lord, you and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship from afar. Moses alone shall come near to the Lord, but the others shall not come near, and the people shall not come up with him." Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the rules. And all the people answered with one voice and said, "All the words that the Lord has spoken we will do." And Moses wrote down all the words of the Lord. He rose early in the morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain, and 12 pillars, according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the people of Israel, who offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen to the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and half of the blood he threw against the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant and read it in the hearing of the people. And they said, "All that the Lord has spoken we will do, and we will be obedient." Moses took the blood and threw it on the people and said, "Behold the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words." Then Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel went up, and they saw the God of Israel. There was under his feet, as it were, a pavement of sapphire stone, like the very heaven for clearness. And he did not lay his hand on the chief men of the people of Israel. They beheld God and ate and drank. The Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and wait there, that I may give you the tablets of stone with the law and the commandment, which I have written for their instruction." So Moses rose with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up into the mountain of God. And he said to the elders, "Wait here for us until we return to you. And behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. Whoever has a dispute, let him go to them." Then Moses went up on the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. The glory of the Lord dwelt on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And on the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the midst of the cloud. Now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on the top of the mountain, in the sight of the people of Israel. Moses entered the cloud and went up on the mountain. And Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is from the 5th chapter of Luke. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing. But at your word, I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. While he was in one of the cities, there came a man full of leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and begged him, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. And he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing, as Moses commanded, for proof to them. But now even more the report about him went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him and to be healed of their infirmities. But he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. This is the word of the Lord. We continue our recitation of the Lord's Prayer with the fifth petition. What is the fifth petition? And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. What does this mean? We pray in this petition that our Father in heaven would not look at our sins or deny our prayer because of them. We are neither worthy of the things for which we pray, nor have we deserved them. But we ask that he would give them all to us by grace, for we daily sin much and surely deserve nothing but punishment. So we too will sincerely forgive and gladly do good to those who sin against us. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In this petition, we pray that God would forgive us our sins, just as we forgive those who sin against us. And I'm struck especially with what Luther wrote in that first sentence, where he said, we pray in this petition that our Father in heaven would not look at our sins. You almost have this image in your mind of God the Father looking at sins, at what we do. And we're literally asking him not to look at our sins. And yet so often, sins are what we look at. And sins are so often what we see so much in front of us. And yet we ask God not to look at those sins. God, who is omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent, all-knowing, all-seeing. We actually pray that he would not at our sins. And there's so much to look at. In our Old Testament reading for today, we had the Israelites immediately after their exodus. And just before Moses goes up Mount Sinai, he has the Book of the Covenant, meaning the agreement that God made with man, the Hebrews, and the agreement the Hebrews made with God. And this is what it said. Then he took the book of the covenant and read it in the hearing of the people. And they said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do, and we will be obedient. And Moses took the blood and threw it on the people and said, behold, the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words. It is almost hard not to chuckle when you hear that sentence that they spoke. And we would have been no better, so I would laugh at myself as well. All that the Lord has spoken, we will do, and we will be obedient. Just about 38 days later is when they build a golden calf and worship it and dance around it and offer offerings. Our sins are so often right in front of our faces, sometimes a golden calf, which is why we pray, as we did today, that God would forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us, and we actually are so bold enough to even ask that God would not look at our sins, because sometimes they're right in front of our faces. Take Peter in our gospel reading from Luke today. In this account, Jesus said this to Peter, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answered, Master, we toiled all night and took nothing. Peter didn't believe Jesus at his word. He had been fishing all night long. He was tired. And now Jesus is telling him to take the boat that he just pulled up on shore and to take the nets he just started to fix and to put all that back together and take this boat during the day back out into the water, which is not when you fish. You fish at night. He was exhausted. So he begrudgingly did it. But deep down, he didn't really believe that Jesus' word was going to be true. Wasn't he wrong? So when Jesus told them, ordered them to let down the net, they let down the net and pulled in such a huge number of fish. Their nets were breaking. They had to pull in another boat. And the boats even began to sink. They were so full. And when Simon Peter saw this miracle, Peter fell down on his knees at Jesus' feet saying, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. Don't even look at me, Jesus. I didn't trust you. I didn't believe you in your word." And Peter realized who Jesus was. This was God. And he had sinned against God. His sin was right in front of his face. As it often is for all of us. And that's why it's so important that we can pray like we did today, that God would not look at our sin. Because he can, if he wanted to. He is omniscient. He is all-knowing. God can look at sins that we have done that we, of course, don't even know about. Not in a million years could any of us ever tally up every single sin we've ever done. But God could. And if God wanted to, he could fix his face on that, our book of sins, and he could tally each and every one of them. And yet we are so bold today to be able to pray that God would not do what God is able to do. That he would not look at our sins. That's a bold prayer to ask God. And yet God is willing to do that for a very good reason. I love our confession of sins because I think it really nails it. Every Sunday when I confess, I think it just captures who we are in a nutshell. In a harsh way, but it's reality, it's true. "I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy and for this, for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being." That's what we pray every week. That prayer, that confession, is basically that God would not look at our sins. And instead, that God would divert his attention away from us and our sins and turn his gaze upon his own Son and look there at our sins. That's where they're covered. That's where they're paid for in your blood, the blood of your own Son. So it's not that we ask God to just look somewhere else. God, look at something pretty. No. What we're praying, what we're asking God to do in his great mercy is not to look at our sins, but to look at his Son and to see what his Son has done for us. And God does. God wants to do that. And I pray you allow God to do that for you. Because sometimes we can be our own worst enemies. We are the ones who often relive sins we've done in the past. We're the ones who often hold on to our sins. We don't have to. After all, haven't all of our sins been paid for? by the sacrifice of Christ. He died for the sins of literally the whole world. Surely he can trouble or cover the sins of one person, like us. His sacrifice was that powerful, that effective. And God, because of what his Son has done, God the Father, is now more than willing and happy and able not to look at our sins anymore, but to turn and look at his Son. And because of what his Son has done, God will do this for you every day of your life until that blessed day comes when he receives all of us into life everlasting. Amen. And now may the peace of our God, which surpasses our understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.